Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
Welcome back, and I would like to welcome two new faces, Mickey. Thank you that you came. And I forget your name?
Michelle.
Michelle, thank you for coming. I hope that you will enjoy that, or it will be beneficial for you. Mm-hmm. We continue on page 170. In the middle of the page, these words, the establisher of repentance. And these words really points to the main theme of this chapter, is on repentance. And Brancheninov, he teaches us in depth about what does it mean to repent, what is repentance. Because many times it is one of these words, religious words, we are very familiar with. If we are talking about repent and other grace and other these words, they are so familiar to us that we have this impression that we know. But true is that many times we don't know. We know, but not in this depth, or it is just knowledge which is not somehow transformed to our lives. It's knowledge we have, and we have this feeling that we are familiar with this knowledge so much that we even don't try to think if it is present really in our life or not. So we have to be thankful to this Holy Bishop that he teaches us or reminds us full meaning of repentance. So let's read and continue two paragraphs.
The establisher of repentance is your Creator, who created you out of nothing. It is so easy for him to recreate you, to transform your heart, to make a God-loving heart out of a sin-loving heart, to make a pure, spiritual, holy heart out of a sensual, carnal, evil-intentioned, earthly heart. Brothers, let us come to know the unutterable love God shows to our fallen human race. The Lord became incarnate so that through the incarnation he would take upon himself the punishments deserved by mankind, and through the punishment of the all-holy, he would redeem the guilty from punishment. What attracted him to us is here on earth, to the country of our exile, our righteousness? No, he was called down by the fallen state to which we had descended because of our sinfulness.
Yeah, beautiful words. Beautiful words. Well, sometimes happens that, and we have this experience that we have our dreams or desires, in our mind, and many times we are afraid of to fulfill them because we are afraid of our fear. Maybe many times we think that fulfillment of this desire or dream is beyond my limits, and so we even don't try to follow this dream or desire. And many times we are right, because many times our physical or limitation of our body can give like stop for fulfillment of the desire of the dream, or it is the goal is so high that we say, well, I don't have abilities, skills for that. And many times we don't try, even if we would be able to get that goal, even we would pay some kind of effort for that. But one thing is with this repentance is that what these words we heard, that we don't need to be afraid of, because everybody who starts with repentance is going to success. That many times we are afraid, okay, we see these big saints who were known by their holy life and deep repentance, and we say, well, I cannot reach this level. But Branchel says as well, don't worry. If you start this life of repentance, this state, permanent state of compassion in heart, you are going to be successful. You are going to have success.
Somebody's car.
Over here.
So what he wants to tell us, Bishop, that if we start repentance, immediately God is involved in this process of going deeper and deeper to repentance. This state of repentance, or this step towards to repent our sins or weaknesses, is very pleasing to God, and He takes, like, He really accepts this our willingness, and He becomes our guide, and He offers us His help. And so it means, again, I would just make conclusion that we should not be afraid of, because once we make decision to repent, it means to go through this transformation of our mind, heart, and soul. God is on our side with His grace, and He's going to help us. We just need to be willingness in this simplicity to start this process. Comments or questions? Nothing? Okay, so let's continue.
Sinners, let us be bold. For us, truly for us, did the Lord accomplish the great work of His incarnation. He looked upon our sicknesses with unimaginable compassion. Let us stop vacillating. Let us stop falling into despair and doubt. Let us approach repentance full of faith, zeal, and gratitude. And through its meditation, let us be reconciled with God. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him because of the righteousness which he has done. He shall live. Such a promise is given by God to the sinner through the words of his great prophet. Let us reciprocate as much as our feeble strength allows the Lord's great love for us, but only in accordance with our situation as fallen creatures of a loving Creator. Let us repent. Let us repent not only with our lips. Let us prove our repentance not with a few fleeting tears, not with the superficial participation in the church's services and rites with which the Pharisees were content. Together with tears, with external piety, let us reap a harvest worthy of repentance. Let us change our sinful life to a gospel life.
Yeah. This is wonderful what he says, and he reminds us two big things. That we don't know if we come to conclusion this work of repentance. We don't know when God calls us. Maybe this process of repentance, which leads to holy life, will be not fulfilled in our life. But the state of repentance causes that fulfillment on these words of the prophet Hiriman, that he who has this spirit of repentance shall live. And this is condition, this spirit of repentance, this desire for non-stop, this non-stop desire to really be cleansed for sins, passions, and bad desires, and this tears over our state. This state of heart is some kind of ticket to heaven, to life. But we have to learn how to have this spirit. And he says few things here, that if we are repent, so don't repent with our mouth, with our words. That, and he reminds here, so like church worship and rites. And I think this is the best place when we come for the liturgy, when we come to pray, when we have our evening prayers, morning prayers. So we always should be careful to come to that state of repentance. And if you recall this chapter about prayer, when he talks about our preparation to the prayer, this is part of the preparation for the liturgy, for the prayers, for all these prayerful activities, or activities of prayer or worship. There should be this preparation when we prepare our heart for this worship. And to really this, to go to this state of repentance is part of this preparation. And it might be our experience that, you know, how many times when we during liturgy we really sing with whole power, Lord have mercy. But how many times we realize after a while that, well, we just say this. It is not this crying of soul for mercy. It's just something what we learned, that it should be proper answer. And we say this with our mouths and heart is not involved. You know, this is always, it's difficult to remember. This is why saints, they call prayer work. It is hard work when we force ourselves and our mind to this, to be watchful, to pray with attention, and to really put heart there, the prayer. And if we do this, so it is quite difficult. And I remember that this old spiritual father in seminary, he told us that, well, if you pray, well, because it was Roman Catholic seminary, so he said, if you pray Mass correctly, after Mass you will be so tired that it is like you would work outside in the field for hours. And well, he was like older priest, very nice kind, and many times we didn't take him very seriously, but now when I recalling his words, he was so right. Because once you try to do this, you are tired after liturgy, very tired. Because this mental work is something what will drain your physical and mental energy very much. And but this is important, because in this, it is giving this effort when we put this work to our prayer. This is our calling towards God, and we are, and it is a sign that we are very serious about that. And this tiredness attracts God's grace. God comes to those who carry these signs of this tiredness, because a person is taking care, you know, of the prayer and tries to have this spirit of repentance. So it is very important to make this preparation, because we are not able to go through liturgy if we don't come earlier and we don't calm down, when we don't realize what we are going to do, that we are going to call upon our God to be merciful to us. And for sure, when we start to prepare ourselves this way and we try to work this heavy work of when we are attentive, it will not go like that. You know, many times, from my experience, is that you try to be attentive to liturgy again, and you are failing, even you are trying. But many times for me, it is really this, in the end, this glory to you, Christ, our God, our hope, glory to you. It's like a last chance to force myself to full this involvement to this prayer. And it's like last chance to really express fully that I want that, and to somehow to make repentance for all these moments when mine was running somewhere away. And this, we should have these moments in liturgy, some kind of points when it reminds us, now raise your heart. This we are, let us lift up our hearts. This, you know, that we are raising our heart again. Or cherubim him, when we are reminded that we are similar to cherubim, to angels, you know, that we should be like them, glorifying God. So I think that the liturgical life, life of liturgy, is very good preparation for us to acquire this spirit of repentance, because it offers us so many moments. And when we start to practice that, then easier during the day, we will remind ourselves this need for repentance, this spirit of repentance to our heart through simple words. Sometimes we utter like Jesus' prayer, and it would bring us to that state of repentance if we practice that. We can say thousands Jesus' prayer, but if heart is not there, no benefit, but really almost no benefit. Because if it is just mouth, not heart, if heart is not involved, if it is not really connected with repentance in our heart. Comment for you?
In the Latin church, they would ring the bell at the epiclesis, you know, the putting the hands over the elements, and then the elevation of the host and the wine. And back in the day when they started ringing the bells for that, they would actually ring the outside bells and people would rush the church for the consecration. They wouldn't go to communion. They'd go in for the consecration, then they'd go back. But also because people couldn't always hear what was going on up front, this told them where they were in the liturgy and this was important, so stop doing what you're doing and pay attention. And for the longest time, I thought, well, we don't need the... And they kind of went away from the bells at a lot of the churches, and I thought, well, they don't need the bells because people can hear and they're, you know, all that. But now they're bringing the bells back, and now I agree, because what you were just saying, because at this moment, it can snap them out of where they were and bring them back to this important point, you know, and realize this is what's going on. I was at a liturgy one day in the pews at a Latin Rite Mass, and this lady and her little child, five, years old, something like that, was kneeling there. And we all knelt down, and he started saying, "Now, mommy, now." She said, "No." And then every few minutes, he'd go, "Now, mommy, now, no." And as soon as the priest said the words of consecration, she said, "Now." And he went, "Jesus." Just that he knew, he just was waiting in anticipation for that moment of the consecration. Is he here yet? Is he here yet? And, you know, just the awe that he had just made my heart, it's like, boy, I take it for granted so often. And here, out of the mouths of babes, you know, this little boy can't wait till that moment.
So, yeah. Well, but this, it's great what this lady, mother, she was doing, because she was teaching the child to pay attention and to be in awe in this miracle, over this miracle. So, well, all right, so let's continue.
Okay. "Why should you die, O house of Israel? Why do you perish eternally with your sins, O Christians? Why is hell filled with you, as if the Church of Christ never established all-powerful repentance? This eternal gift is given to the house of Israel, to Christians, and it has the same efficacy no matter what time of life, no matter how heavy the sin. It cleanses every sin. It saves every person who runs to God, even if only in the last moments before death. Why should you die, O house of Israel? Christians die an eternal death because they dedicate their entire lives to breaking their baptismal oaths to dedication to sin. They perish since they pay not the slightest attention to the word of God, which tells them of repentance. And in the very last moments of their lives, they cannot take advantage of all-powerful repentance. They cannot because they have no understanding of Christianity, or they have only the most insufficient and confused understanding of it, something closer to complete lack of knowledge. As I live, says the Lord God, as if he is forced to increase faith amid faithlessness and to awake those still asleep. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?"
Yeah. This is very powerful. There is one sentence which really hits me again and again when I read that why is hell filled with you? As if the Church of Christ never established all-powerful repentance. This eternal gift is given to the house of Israel, to Christians. It's very powerful. And for at least for me, because, well, it reminds this. We always have to be somewhere like surprised that if Church gives us and through gives us this grace of repentance, why so many people ignore that? Why so many people ignore that and they really don't use it? And I want to bring to several like words from writing of Saint Augustine. He says that if a man waits this change in of own life to the last hour of life, he's playing with death. The person is playing with death. And he says it is odporné,
disgusting.
It's disgusting for God if he does this. Actually, that person really calls anger of God upon himself. You wait. And it is so visible, because sometimes people, they think that they can do this. And I don't want to make some kind of generalization, but what is my experience is that with visiting of people who are dying, those who really try during life to live according to God's commandments, to keep commandments, to they were coming for the liturgy, they were trying to pray. I don't say that perfectly they were saying something, but they were trying. I think that they got this grace of some kind of clarity in these last moments of life, because they really got it and they repented. Do you remember Anne Orniak? Yeah. She is one of them, you know, that, well, we cannot say that she was like brilliant theologian or person, that she knew some kind of all these rules of spiritual life. I would say that it was simple lady. She was faithful to this in coming to the parish, supporting the parish, working for the parish, just keeping this life. As she knew that, in a way how she was formed, like this desire, you know, that for heaven, for eternal life. But well, you cannot say that it was a lady, she was sitting in the chair all the time. It was not how she was formed. But it was like 2 days before her death, or day before death, we went to visit her to give anointing. We went there several times, but I remember that she was telling me, Father, I forgive everybody and tell everybody that I forgive everybody and I ask for forgiveness everybody, because I did so many things, but I love everybody, tell it to everybody. And she said more things, but it was amazing that, well, she, in these last moments of her life, last days, she got this clarity in seeing what is important. And I'm just taking her as a example, but it repeats again, that many times, you know, people who live this way, they just demand the priest to come, because they are getting this clarity, they are responding to this grace, and they want to put everything in order, what is like clear sign of that, well, maybe their knowledge, because of, well, who can blame, for example, like I was saying about her, that well, she was following what she got, what was offered to her. If this formation was not, I would say, perfect, that she didn't go through that, this book study as we are going, studying spiritual life. But God knows that there was no opportunity for example, for her to go to through this kind of formation. But she from heart followed what she believed, what was given to her, with all these good intentions. And she got this God's grace, And she was able to answer in a very correct way, and many others. Amazing. If we are trying to lead God-pleasing life, we try to keep His commandment. And if we keep this spirit of repentance in our heart, we will be not forgotten by God. And we will be, I'm sure, based on this experience, we will be sure even to recognize this moment of this last grace, I would say, and which brings this clarity, and we would be able to answer in correct way. But there were cases that, well, when I came and to visit somebody, so it means that God was offering this grace. And well, even they received this anointing and everything. Many times I have this, I don't want to be like, I'm making no judgment, but there is this bitter feeling that, all right, but did they want it really? Did they understood what was going on? You have this, you can see this approach of people, and it is just, I don't know, I don't see it to the heart, but there are these signs which makes you that you are leaving somebody from this deathbed, and you have this peace in the heart, and you know, this person really took the grace. And sometimes you are living and you are living with questions. Did they turn heart to God? It's up to God. I don't want to judge, but the conclusion is, if we wait to the end of life with repentance, with worship, with praying, with trying to please God, we will be not able probably to recognize that grace and to take it in this fullness. And many times we can even not get this grace. Like God, and again St. Augustine says that God gave promise to person forgiveness if they repent, but He didn't promise our tomorrow day, that new day is coming. He might give us this day if we hesitate to do repentance today, but He might not. And He says that, St. Augustine says that this reason why God doesn't let us to know date of our death, because day of death are unknown for us. And this is reason, the reason is that if we know the day of our death, we would probably spending many days in earthly pleasures, sinful pleasures, with the thought that, well, still have year, month, week for repentance and for receiving God's mercy. And this, it's important to think about that. If you pray these evening prayers, there is a prayer of St. John of Damascus. How it is in English? Can you remember? I know Slovak version, but it would not help.
Is this better to be my cup, and or will
you yes.
With another, or will you enlighten me with another day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take me not away in the midst of my days, not while my mind is still blind.
Yeah, and if you read this prayer when he asking God, may this bed is not my casket during night. It's powerful evening because we don't know if we wake up. And I would say that it's difficult sometimes to go to sleep with this thought. I might be transferred through this, my sleep, to eternity. God might call me. So it will shake with your soul a little bit. You know, and how many times you are trying to sleep and you are begging God, please not yet, I'm not ready, please give me another day. I'm not ready yet. Because with that, this clarity of knowing in which state is our life comes, and if you don't tremble inside, so it is a little bit. Oh, can you read that prayer, Saint John Damascus?
O Master, lover of mankind, is this bed to be my coffin, or will you enlighten my wretched soul with another day? Behold, the coffin left before me. Behold, death comforteth me. I fear, O Lord, the judgment and the endless torments, yet I cease not to do evil, my Lord God. I continually anger thee and thy most precious mother and all the heavenly host and my holy guardian angel. I know, O Lord, that I am unworthy of thy love for mankind, but am worthy of every condemnation and torment. But, O Lord, whether I will it or not, save me, for to save a righteous man is no great thing, and to have mercy on the pure is nothing wonderful. Okay, for they are worthy of thy mercy, but on me, a sinner, show the wonder of thy mercy in this reveal thy love for mankind, lest my wickedness prevail over thine affront, goodness and merciful kindness, and order my life as thou wilt.
What's the name of that?
It's morning prayers, evening prayers, sorry. In our prayer books would be held, so it is one of prayers there. Yeah, so it is something that not only reminds you that, but it is calling for repentance. And reminding this promise that God will not abandon those who, that one who makes repents shall live. So, all right, so let's continue. Three more paragraphs.
God knew the weakness of man, knew that even after baptism people would fall into sin. For that reason, he established his mystery of repentance in his church, through which sins committed after baptism are cleansed. Repentance must go hand in hand with faith in Christ. It must exist even before baptism. And after baptism, it reestablishes those who have rejected Christ as those who have been baptized into him. When many from Jerusalem and all Judea came to the Jordan to be baptized by John, the prophet of repentance, they confessed their sins. According to St. John of the Ladder, they confessed not because the Baptist needed to hear their sins, but because their repentance would only be true if their confession was united with the feeling of remorse for falling into sin. The same father continues, saying that the soul knows it must confess its sins. The same thought, like a bridle, helps prevent repetition of the same sins. On the other hand, unconfessed sins are committed as if in darkness, and they are quickly repeated.
Yeah. Well, this is important part of his teaching, and reminds us this gift of sacrament, reconciliation or confession, that this gift from God through church to us, that which Holy Father, they call it like second baptism, when we are changed and made free for our sins, we are healed and grace is returned back to us. But now in these days there are so many voices which they say that, well, many people don't understand this gift. And there are several reasons why. The first thing is why they don't come from confession, because they don't know what to confess. One thing. And the second main reason is that they don't feel pain over committed sins. So it means that this spirit of repentance is missing. And it's missing this sense for sin, what sin does. And it's connected, those two reasons are connected, because, well, if we don't know when to confess, then for sure, if we commit a sin, we don't feel that pain over that. And this is a big problem of present time. How we came to this point, I don't know. It's difficult. It's difficult to find these reasons for that. But if we take this teaching of Holy Fathers, these teachers of spiritual life, they all together, they say, if it is Isaac Syrian or John Climac or Cassian, everybody in a little bit different words, but they say, well, if we are consumed by world, we are filled with world, we cannot recognize, know things which belong to spirit, which comes from heaven, this knowledge from heaven. We cannot. So it means that we are immersed in world totally, and we live for all this worldly pressure. We become blind, deaf to everything what is connected in spiritual life, that we like put this crying of our conscience somewhere to the back, and we don't hear that, we don't feel that. Even if we know that this is the sin, but this state of our soul, which is filled with world, is not able to create this pain over that sin. And because of that, we don't have urge to go through cleansing, to remove this sin from our souls. This is the main, they say, this is the main, like, or first thing what causes that. You can go on some kind of conference, or you can read book on which explains all these sins in detail. But you go to confession and you are not able to say anything, almost. If your heart is filled with world this way. And I remember once there was a situation that one man, he asked me that I would like to do make confession, but I need some kind of help and how to prepare. So I gave him like nice book we talked, but then I came with one book. It was like in Slovak, it was like maybe 30, 40 pages. And it was like clearly each commandment from Decalogue was like put to details, very, very simple way to really inform of questions and very, very details. And he said, well, read that, go through your heart and well, put on paper who you find. And it should help you. Then when he was about to come, I said, well, did you go through this book? And he said, well, I did, but I didn't find anything. I said, well, you are not prepared yet, you know, because continue. I cannot tell how the end, obviously, you know that, but just what I mean, this, and he was opened, he didn't lie, he was just, and it was like impossible, how it is possible if you go through these details and you cannot find anything, you know? So it is like, it was like, I couldn't understand in a moment. I was young priest still, but we spent more time as a preparation and, well, anyway. But it is true. You even can read this, this mirror, this examination of conscience. You can read that. You can have the best in the world. If your heart is totally filled with world, with worries, you can read and you would not understand. You would not feel this. You might find something. Usually people who just feel the responsibility to go from confession, you know, that it's time because it's Easter, and then they say the same thing as they say probably when they came for the first confession in their life, because it was somehow put to their memory. It's difficult. You know, we have to learn that we can confess, we can make good confessions only when we do confessions. Because with each confession, we are growing in this art, how to confess one thing. And this grace is helping us to see deeper to our conscience, to our heart, and helps us to recognize what this sin is. But if the spirit of repentance, and if I am really involved in world, that I am, my decision is not heaven, that I, this what I have every day in my mind, that I want my salvation, I want to go to heaven, I want to remove everything from my life what can be barrier. If this is not in my mind, it will be very difficult to recognize that. So corrects like the spirit of repentance, this is why he puts it here, helps us to recognize what is wrong in us and to confess it. And as he reminds it, this confession is very important for us, because many times we say, well, God knows all my sins, I'm sorry for my sins, and well, so it's okay, I need to confess it. Yes, God knows that, but we have to know it too. God knows that very well, but we don't know. And preparation for confession, it is this work. When I analyze my words, thoughts, and actions, and I try to find what caused this, I have to really go deeper. I have to ask why I said this, and why I had this thought, why this thought came, what caused my thought, what this thought means, what passion is behind the thought. I have to uncover all this underground which causes me to sin, to recognize, and then to come to this pain of heart over my state and to ask for grace and then to confess that in clearly. So this preparation for confession helps me to know myself better, and it helps then to avoid sin and to start or fight with sins. So it is always hard work. It is not about like to I feel some kind of pain, something touched me, and I'm not feeling comfortable, so I go into confession to say this my emotion, to be healed. It's not confession about that. It's not about healing of my emotions which were hurt. It is really to tell to God, this is what I discovered as a wound in my heart. Even I am not able to say very sorry, but I acknowledge it is something what offended you. Give me spirit of repentance. Give me this healing my soul when I will be able to cry over my state.
I just was wondering about like unconfessed sins or forgotten sins. Like you know that you've committed like this sin or that sin, but you just, when you're in confession, you just like forget what that sin was. Because I was reading last night, and it was Cleopa just talking about like his like four or five steps of confession or something, and the one at the very end was like, if you have unforgotten sins or unconfessed or forgotten sins or unconfessed sins, like you're not forgiven for those sins, basically. And it was like, it was kind of like a harsh reality. But then I said to Miron, like, but what happens? It happens to all of us that we have unconfessed or forgotten sins. And I mean, in confession, it's just like sometimes, you know, you think about it and you remember, you know, a mile down the road or something, and you're like, why couldn't I have remembered that 10 minutes ago, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's...
Harsh,
but all these
yeah.
fathers are, and but I think they do it with intention to shake with us, because for sure, one thing is there is a difference. If I do my best, if I really work on this, my testing my conscience every day, and I am keeping my sin in front of my eyes. And I am making good preparation. So even if I forget, that there is no intention of me to forget, not to confess, but if I forget that, so yes, for sure, all those things I'm sorry about are forgiven. But I think that his words are directed to, I would say, majority of Christians. Who just don't do this work, you know? Because if you are not taking serious you are not making serious preparation. You just scan your conscience before confession and say, "No, this," and you don't make this work to know what is in your heart. So it is not something what you forgot. You even didn't recognize in your life. You know, so this is in this sense what he says, that they are not forgiven. It might be true. You know, it everything depends on this inner state of soul and intention. You know, because when you are crying over your sins, and so you really recall everything. And sometimes, if you go, let's say that. An adult child in one moment realizes that, well, how much pain caused to his or her mother, and somehow hits that. So he goes and he's crying and asking, oh, I was so bad, son or daughter, and I'm so sorry I did this, I did, but I'm really sorry. For sure you are not, probably you don't mention all these details when you were hurting your mother, but this is forgiven. You know, so it means that it is, there was no intention to say, well, I keep this away. It was like fullness of this repentance there. And I think the same, maybe it's not the perfect image, but this is but it's different. Like, that if you just go because of duty for confession, and you don't put a lot of work to preparation, you are not very serious about that, you don't have desire for this holiness. So I would say his words are, Patrick?
There's also a difference between forgetting that one squabble with my spouse and forgetting adultery. I mean, there's a difference on what you forget to confess.
sure. Does it make sense what I said? Yeah. Okay, I think we can stop here.
Before we stop, I want to ask a question. Because confession is so important, why is it that the church now says you have to have confession at least once a year? It's almost...
No. We have to understand this order. Church gave this commandment just to make, I would say, how to distinguish those who are in church who are already out. It is like a last straw.
Yeah.
You know, it's not order that you must confess once per year. I said, they said, the minimum of minimum of minimum is once per year. If you don't come once per year, you are out, actually. Blessing of the Lord be upon you in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.